Oh, Well, today is part three of our sermon series, Treasure, about where and how we are investing our lives. The past two Sundays, in quick summary, we've asked these questions: where is your treasure? And we focused on Matthew 6 and verses 19 through 21. And then last Sunday, we then talked about who are we serving? Or another way to put that is what would it mean if we were to only serve God? And that was a focusing on Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Now, of course, if you missed out on the sermons, you can go to our website. The podcasts are there, and you can catch up. There's some good stuff there, and also there is some excellent music that will uplift your hearts and your souls. This morning, we're going to shift our treasure gears to an aspect of the human condition that holds many of us hostage. In fact, I'd say in reality, it's inevitable and inescapable because none of us are immune to its mind game clutches. Worry. Defined, and going with this definition, giving away to anxiety or unease, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. Our not so welcome friend, worry. But I don't want it to be confused with our other dear friend, fear, like the emotional character from Pixar's Inside Out, because these two are truly different. Worry is a voluntary emotion, fear is involuntary. And while fear can certainly make us anxious, and you see that worry, that goes over the long haul. So whatever we've imagined or whatever may be real, what we do is we overthink it. And all the while, worry, it just digs deeper. It just digs on into our psyche. And that's going to then agonize and torment us. And that leads to sleepless nights and fatigue and irritability and tension and loss of appetite. Now, is all worry bad? No. Not when it keeps us out of trouble, when it protects us. But the worry that I'm going to be focusing on in today's message is a destructive force rather than a life-giving emotion. And as we journey together over the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to bring Jesus into the picture to help guide us, to redirect our energy and emotion so that we can move forward in a more healthy, productive way of life. To accept and honor ourselves as treasures of God. With that, this morning's scripture focus is going to be read by Julia and Nathan, and the passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and today's reading will be from the Message. It's written in a more contemporary language, and again, for those of you that want to follow in your Bibles or smartphones, this is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34.
What's on the table at mealtimes, or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body.
Look at the birds, free and unfettered. not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds.
Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference?
Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen such color and design quite like this? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you?
What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way God works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how God works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met.
Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes.
Thank you, Nathan and Julia, for reading and sharing today's scripture with us today. So I want to add to what they read. And what I'm going to do is take some verses that were from another translated text. And it's, for example, and we have many texts, but this one I'm going to take is from the Contemporary English Version. And because these are some very clear statements, while there is also some probing questions within this passage. So here's just a few of those. I tell you not to worry about your life. Can worry make you live longer? Why do you have such little faith? Now, this is one that we may be familiar with. Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. You have enough to worry about today. Now, when I read that last statement, I have to admit, that one gave me pause because I'm like, now, wait a minute. Whoa. You have enough to worry about today. Didn't Jesus just say, not to worry? All right, so I'm going to go along that worry line, and I posed two questions this week on my Facebook page. The first question was, what do you worry about? What do you worry about? And so there were some very interesting responses, among which were being alone, single for life, not living up to my potential. And then there were the usual suspects, death, war, famine, family, finances, retirement. And then there were some also expressed concerns about, I'm worried about senseless killings and violence, meeting deadlines, aging parents, providing for one's family, environmental collapse. And this is the one that really caught my attention. Being remembered for the things I mess up than the things I did well. A myriad of worries among the people as life on earth and all it brings weighs heavy on our hearts and minds. But this thing about not to worry, it was poking me like this is a sharp stick in my side. Because when you read Matthew 6, 25 through 34 to someone who just lost their job or to someone who just got a diagnosis that's life-threatening or to someone who's just lost everything that they had in their retirement fund because of economic downturn, I don't think that passage is going to go over very well. In a way, don't worry sounds almost Pollyannish. It's like, it reminds me of the Bobby McFerrin song, don't worry, be happy. Right? Well, it can't be that simple, though, right? I mean, Jesus, come on. Jesus is not going to be glib about something like this. I mean, he's not telling us to act as though our concerns don't matter, is he? Well, so if he isn't, what's his point? Well, I see a couple of things here, and the first one that I'm going to address is, let's take everything into consideration. What's been going on and written in Matthew 6 and what we've been talking about the past 2 weeks. Jesus was talking about treasure. And so one's treasure was their worth, their riches, their wealth, mammon. And we described that it's a Hebrew word. Mammon means material things, right? And so he was very specific about our human desire to have more, more, more. And that we feel we have to make money. And that there's, and we feel that there's never enough. And we know that is an emotional lie. And all of this can lead us down the road to perdition. And it goes back to what I said last week. When we have this division, and let's throw in worry now into this, let's throw it in, it leads to a terrible disunion in which our personal kingdoms are in major earthquake mode, and in which it's so hard to withstand the jolts, these constant unrelenting jolts that come. Now, these people to whom Jesus was addressing, I want you to understand that these people were already in a worried state of mind. Why is that? Because of mammon. Because the mammon they felt defined their very lives. And so they didn't have enough, and that's why Jesus was sharing these words of divine wisdom to them. And I believe that these words are just as important to us. They are applicable to us today. Because basically this is what he's saying. If you're worrying, stop. And if you're not worrying, that's great. Don't start. Because worrying blinds us to the truth. When we do that, our vision, which should be singularly focused, becomes blurred. And if we want to see clearly, then we must honor and fully live into the purposes of God, who cares for us all and sees through at everything that we're going through. Worry, be gone. And what Jesus was also doing in preaching to the masses during his Sermon on the Mount, he was pointing out the root cause for most of our worries. Because we think that ultimately it comes down to this. We're the ones in control. That it's up to us. You see, now when we operate under that assumption or that illusion, delusion, that life is dependent upon us, in actuality, whose life to depend it upon? Yeah, it's God, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus is pointing us directly to God as the divine source. That's our go-to. Which then leads me to my second point in response to what Jesus said. Now, I want to start off with a baseline. Our Creator gave us life. Everyone agree with that? Okay, good. So, now if we go with that we've been given life, we should be grateful, big time grateful. And so if we're dependent upon God for the life that we have been given, that requires trust on our part, trust in the one who created us. Now, I want to build from there, because this is when Jesus brings in the illustration of the birds and the flowers. Because there is awesomeness in our feathered friends. And there is magnificence in the fields when we look at the flowers. And it's breathtaking, right? Yet, what does Jesus tell us in this section? While birds and flowers are valued, we, humanity, God values even more. And I want you to take that in. Because, my friends, when we're talking treasure, we are God's treasure. And our Creator takes care of her creation, concerned for our needs and well-being. Now, if we consider the birds of the air, do they worry about their lives? Are they attempting to hoard away their possessions because of the unforeseeable future? No. But, man, do those birds work. They don't take things for granted. And, in fact, I'd say birds on the whole are probably working more diligently than we as humans do. But I'm going to say this again in a different way. Birds are focused on the present moment. They are focused on what is happening right now before them, what is needed at this moment, and that's the precise focus that we need to have in our lives and we need to take on ourselves. Just like I read earlier from the last part of today's scripture, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Yet, That requires trust and faith on our part to do that, to stay in the moment and not be scattered to the four winds of the earth. There's a quote from Erik Erikson that I find appropriate here. He was a famous developmental psychologist, and here's what he said. There are a million who profess faith, yet in practice mistrust both life and man. There are a million who profess faith, yet in practice mistrust life and man. But we have biblical evidence of God's provision for those who have suffered, for those who went through a famine and destruction. We have that evidence and biblical record of those dealing with despair. And if we pair that evidence and record of God's provision for those individuals with our own stories, personal and communal, of God's providence and grace, guess what? There we have hope. We have hope, and that is the evidence that we have to work with. So whatever worries we may have, those need to be replaced by placing our trust in God, by believing in the one who knows all and who has given us life, the one who loves us beyond measure. Indeed, if we desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, our needs will be met. Jesus does recognize this. Yes, we do have things in our lives that give us concern, but what Jesus also is trying to do here is help us understand that there's a proper place that each of those concerns should hold in our hearts. Jesus is directing us to seek God first, to acknowledge God, and then to give ourselves over to God. And when we do that, everything else is going to fall into place. And then when we give our gifts to God, for we are called to be generous without fear, we are then showing our trust in the one who made us, who cares deeply for us, and who loves us without measure. And it's a reminder to us how we must see the world, to love God and to love others. As I close this particular section of my message, before ending then on a thankful note, here's a couple of questions for you to ponder this week. What are the things that you're worried about today? What things are you worried about today? And then, what are you concerned about that could be included in what Jesus called worrying about tomorrow? Worries today, worrying about tomorrow. And in that mix, whatever worries that you are carrying, whatever worries that you have, lift those concerns up into the care of our everlasting Mother, Father. And know that you are beloved children of God. That you are beloved children of God. And that you are beloved children of God. All of us are sacred in the eyes of our Creator. And all of us are God's treasure. And with that, we know a special holiday fast approaches this week, the day of Thanksgiving. And truthfully, we should be giving thanks each and every day. Amen. So here's the second question that I posted on Facebook. What are you thankful for? Now, there's a few responses I got, and I'm going to tell you a few of those. Some are humorous. What are you thankful for? For family and friends. For each and every day. For ideas and inspiration. For my puppy. For having had my wonderful dad for 42 years. For chocolate and coffee. For laughter. For a full cupboard and a bed to lay my head upon. For nature's beauty. For friends who share their young families with me. For people who choose the darkness to allow their light to shine even brighter. For God's mercy, forgiveness, grace, and love. So add this question to your reflections for this week. What are you thankful for? And next week we're going to conclude the treasure series with our giving back our treasure to God and what promises to be a lively music-centric worship service. I can't wait. And as I draw this morning's message to a close, what am I thankful for? And certainly one of those answers is right before me. I am thankful for each and every one of you who brighten my days and lift up this community of faith. What a great blessing you are for each other and for God. For each of you are God's treasures. Amen. Amen.
Stand and sing with us last song.
From here, please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor. Give them a high five. Give them a hug. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.